to as you show us through your word. And so, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We know that Jesus met lots of people, lots of groups of people, and when he was talking with one particular group, a Jewish group, he said to those who were listening, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And what he was saying is to those people that he was the true way to a liberation from slavery that his listeners didn't realize or at least acknowledge they were in slavery too. And in this letter to the Galatians, Paul picks this up. And he goes to great lengths to make it very clear that no one can be made right with God by keeping the law handed down from Mount Sinai, however hard they try. However hard we try, it can't be done. It leads to failure. And it is through faith in Christ alone that we're made righteous before God. Christ brings freedom from a never-ending failure of trying to be righteous with God through our own efforts. We can't do it. Freedom from the curse of the law. But Christ brings freedom in other areas too, plenty of them. And we read in Luke about the freedom that Christ brings from the power of the evil one. And I'm indebted to Martin Salter for his insights into this passage. Jesus has crossed the lake. He's gone from one side to the other, and where he's ended up is, in the main, a non-Jewish area. And they get out of the boat, he and his followers, and they come face to face with a man who had demons. In fact, so many demons that he's called Legion. And you will be reminded, I'm sure, because of the name Legion, that the Romans had, I've forgotten the name of it, but lots of soldiers divided up into legions, between 5,000 and 6,000 people. So he was in a bad way. His name was Legion, and he had many demons. And even before we go further, we should make it quite clear, and it is clear, that behind all the forces of evil is Satan. And we can see evidence of what he does and what he's like. He brings destruction. He's powerful, he's cunning, he's malicious, and Scripture describes him well. These are the words that Scripture uses. Tempter, accuser, dealing out guilt that is false and brings doubt and despair. He's a deceiver, and generally, the way he works is subtle, unseen. He blinds people to what is true, writes Paul to the Corinthians. But in this account, what he's doing is exposed for all to see. It is blatantly obvious what he's doing. The man that we meet, the man possessed by demons, well, there are six things, and they're all negative. He lives in a graveyard. I don't know about you, but when I go or did go camping, a graveyard was not the place that I chose to pitch my tent. So there's something a bit odd here. He lives in a grave. He cries out day and night. He's suffering. He self-harms. He doesn't wear clothes. Well, wearing a few less clothes might be good in this weather, but he doesn't wear any clothes in any weather. And he's no longer in control of his faculties. We'd say he's mad. And it's a sorry picture. Satan destroys. His work is destructive. And Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, aptly calls him the destroyer. But the very next thing we see is that Jesus brings deliverance, freedom from the power and the effect that the evil one has. He's taken the initiative. And he's given the unclean spirit or demons a command. And straight away, these demons know that Jesus has authority and that he's a threat to them. Now, they already know that one day, the plan is, God's plan, that they will face judgment. But surely, not yet. And they seem to have viewed Jesus as a change of plan. It's the wrong plan. It's an illegitimate change in God's plan regarding when their sentence is going to be carried out. And the reaction of the demons as they cry out, "What have you to do with me?" suggests that they acknowledge he has a superior power, but they're not acknowledging who he really is. But it isn't any use, because Jesus has authority, because he is the Son of God, and his command stands. And there isn't a fight. The demons don't even try. All they do is beg him not to torture them. And they say, let us go into the pigs. It's an interesting question. Why did the demons want to go into the pigs? We aren't told. Neither are we told about the loss of livelihood to the farmers, the pig farmers. We're not told. Some things Scripture reveals, others it doesn't. And we don't know the answer. But what is clear is that the spiritual issues involved here are far more important to the disciples and to Jesus than the economic ones. But on the plus side, it does give us proof of deliverance. It's clear the man is delivered because the demons have gone into the pigs. And it also shows again their true purpose. The demons' aim is destruction, and the pigs run down the hillside into the lake and they're drowned. But the demons have left legion. Jesus brings freedom and evil is overcome. But it raises for me perhaps a question, because we know that on the cross Jesus has disarmed the principalities and powers. On the cross Jesus has triumphed over them. But in what sense are we free from his power? Because sometimes we say and sense the devil, Satan, must be behind some of these things that I'm experiencing. Raymond Brown was a postman, but he went on to become principal of Spurgeon's College. And one day he was delivering letters and he opened the gate of a house that he'd never been there before, hadn't delivered any letters. And he found himself confronted by an awesome sight. A very vicious dog flung itself towards him. And in that moment, he froze, as you do. And he looked, and quick as a flash, in these moments, the brain sort of goes into overdrive. The first thing he saw was a very large stake some way back, and attached to the stake was a chain, and attached to the chain at the other end, a bit like the spider and the fly, this is, but attached to the chain at the other end is a collar. So the dog had quite a bit of freedom, but it was limited. It could not reach Raymond Brown with his letters, and although it shook him up, he could pass safely to the letterbox and come out. And every time he went to deliver letters to that house, he never said that he didn't tremble a little bit, but he kept his eyes on the stake and he was able to deliver the letters quite safely. And what we're being told by Paul in these words, Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers, triumphing over them, is that at the cross, Satan is chained down. And when he's bitten us, it's usually because we've got too close. The devil is on the prowl, Peter warns us. He still tries to deceive and destroy, but his power is limited. And we should remember, as one person said, Satan only gains access when we open the door. And don't forget, we have the full armor of God. And John reminds us in his letter, God protects, the evil one cannot touch those who belong to him. Well, what happens next? The herdsmen are, I don't know what they are, but they run to the city, to the town, and they say to everyone, what's happened? And the people came, and they find the man seated in his right mind, sitting with Jesus. And it says, they were afraid. Because freedom can cut two ways. And instead of being drawn to faith because of what Jesus had done and what they could see in that Gerasene person possessed by demons, it drove them away from God. Fear, it says, drove them away from God. And they asked Jesus to leave, and he does. He goes. And the natural thing for the healed man is to say, can I come with you? This is great. What's happened? Let me come with you. But it's not to be. And Jesus has other plans for him. And he says, go and declare how much God has done for you. He would have had a spectacular story, and he would have had no trouble in getting people to listen. But my experience, and probably quite a few of us at one time or another, is that when it comes to sharing our faith, particularly in the workplace, maybe on a building site, wherever it is, it can feel daunting. And as somebody has said, that going to the dentist and beginning a conversation about our faith are similar. They have something in common, because in both instances, we're meant to open our mouths, and we're fairly sure that something painful may follow as a result. But the good news is that we're probably doing more than we think already. Even before we open our mouths, what we do, the way we react to situations, and people see this and probably pick this up far more readily than the words we say, it's declaring, it's showing how our faith affects the way we live our lives. And it will lead on, sooner or later, to the opportunity to share our story of how following Jesus affects the way we live, the choices we make, right as opposed to wrong, being straight as opposed to being deceitful. And it may lead on, and it does lead on, when opportunities arise, to saying why we believe in Jesus, rather than, say, a lucky rabbit's foot. And I hope we know the difference. So, let's be open to the opportunities that God sends our way. But remember, we're still in a battle, and Satan will do his best to put us off. He whispers. Nobody wants to listen to that sort of thing. I've heard that. And you won't be able to put it across clearly anyway. Don't listen. Satan whispers, but God provides us with the opportunity through our lives, through the opportunity to share why we do what we do and why we believe in Jesus, rather than that lucky rabbit's foot. Jesus is in a different category altogether. He is the Son of God, the creator of the universe, revealed to us in human form. So, Christ brings us freedom in lots of ways. Here, he brings us freedom from the curse of the law. He brings us freedom from the power of the evil one. And he also gives us freedom to declare what we know. And we have wonderful, good news to share. And God will provide the opportunities for us to do just that, whether by our lives, our words, the opportunities will come. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom which you bring. Open our eyes, Lord, to the opportunities to share your freedom with those we meet. And give us a renewed confidence in your presence and protection in our daily walk with you. Implant in us, Lord, the desire and the joy of sharing your good news and to enjoy the freedom you've given us, particularly here in our country, to share this good news. For we ask in your name, Amen.
Thank you, Dave. Thank God for his freedoms and the freedom.